Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see all of you. I'm Lisa McElhern. I'm Head of Public Affairs here in NICFA, and I have a lovely job of welcoming you all this morning. To NICFA members, welcome back home. To those of you who are joining us for the first time from the tech sector, from the public sector, from the media, you're very welcome to your building. And really, this morning, a weird thing has happened to me because I don't know what to say to you all about what we're going to talk about. Because it is the first time. Because this is something that myself and my colleagues in NICFA have been dedicated to make happen for such a long time now. Do you ever get that thing where you really, really want something and then you get it and you're a bit like, oh, okay. So really what I want to talk to you about is a new project, a new partnership we've formed with The Detail. The project's called Detail Data. And today you're going to meet the team who are going to be running it, and they're going to take you through what it's actually going to do. But what I wanted to share with you to start things off was our thinking about why we're doing it. And I suppose it's for us in NICFA, it solves three problems, really, that we'd been struggling with in terms of kind of the wider policy work that we do and the wider policy work that voluntary community sector do and the things that we do that impact on people and communities and families across Northern Ireland. And we knew that we needed to get better connections into the media in order to do our work effectively, in order to publicise what we do, but in order to get better policy and lobbying and outcomes for the organisations that we work with in NICFA and for the organisations that you as voluntary and community sector organisations work with. We also knew that we really wanted to tell the story of what's really happening to communities, to people and to families in Northern Ireland. And we were wondering how we could make connections into mainstream media to allow us to do that. And thirdly, and kind of importantly, really, in NICFA, we were wondering how we could harness this global thirst for data and information and open government to really use that information for the public good. So to make voluntary and community organisations better at what we do, but ultimately to get better outcomes for the people, for the families, for the communities we all work with, and for Northern Ireland as a whole. And really this idea of open data, what we're going to be talking about this morning, is part of a much, much wider global movement of open government. And that has its roots in a number of things, but for me, mainly it has its roots in the financial crisis and the bank crisis and the crisis that we see working itself out in the banks of Greece and the food banks of Belfast. And we still see the negative social and economic and ecological outcomes of that. And at the same time as the economics, as we know it, was crashing, there were also a number of really high-level scandals around churches, government, media, that really shook the tectonic plates of what the things that we trust, all of those institutions that we grew up placing our trust in, government, banks, media, churches, and dare I say, charity. People started to question more. They wanted to understand what was happening to them. They wanted to really know where the power lay. And the open government movement, for all of government's attempts to capture that, actually it is a movement, it's a people's movement, and it's based on the idea of, for us, for the open data part of it, of using data for public good. And that's really important. And in NICFA, our head of comms and ICT, Stephen Gray, really caught this idea early. And we're all here today as a result of his dogged nagging of me and everyone else in this organisation for about 5 years, until we also caught on to what was happening. There was a small open data community already happening in Northern Ireland, and we are delighted that some of you, those pathfinders, are here today to help us take our project forward. And all of this was happening, and at the same time in NICFA, in our tiny part of the world, in our small part of that small part of the world, we had our economic development project, and we had a report about welfare reform, now infamous. And we wanted to launch it because we knew that the data in it was groundbreaking, and it had really good information. And the place we turned to was The Detail, actually, because we liked what they were doing. We knew we could trust the journalists in there. We knew that they would actually go and talk to the people that this was affecting. The spin would be minimal. The information would be there. And the outcome for us was really positive. So all of this was happening. We were working with The Detail. We had a really positive outcome. And then, like all good ideas, one phone call later, Catherine phoned me and said, you know what, there's something in this. Can we develop it? We worked up an application to BIG, and boom, here we are. So all of those things happening globally, a little bit of innovation locally, and we're so delighted to be all here today, because the thing that we get to offer you now to volunteering community organisations is really, really valuable and innovative and different, and I believe has the potential to start something. This project is only 3 years, to start something over these next 3 years that will change how we all work, will change what we know about the communities we work with, but also how we plan the services that we deliver to them. And to me, that's very exciting. So I'm going to stop blabbing, and I'm going to hand over to the team now, to Andrea Thornbury. She's going to take us through exactly what this project is going to do. Catherine from the Detail is going to share with us the journalistic, investigative journalistic element of things and what they hope to do with their element of the project. And then Bob is going to take us through how a particular service that the project is going to develop and how you can all use it. And then we'll have some time to have a discussion amongst ourselves about this idea of open data and how you think you can use it, because actually this project will only work if you all engage with it from voluntary community sector side, but also from government, tech sector and the media. So it's really important that we start to have a conversation with you this morning about the shape of the project going forward. I promise myself I won't say going forward, and I've just said. Okay, Andrea.
Thanks, Lisa. As Lisa said, my name is Andrea Thornbury and I'm the project coordinator of Detailed Data. And this morning I'm just going to give a quick run through about what the core objectives are of the project and just a little bit about what open data actually is. So open data is more commonly now referred to as the new raw material of the 21st century. And the Open Data Institute, who are world experts on the empowerment of open data and how it can be used, have described it as data that's available to everyone to access, use and share. And basically, it's an idea that certain data can be used and be republished by anyone without the restriction of copyright and patents. And it is becoming an increasingly important part of our information landscape. So open data is sweeping the world as government after government are publishing their data to get the benefit of greater transparency, accountability and efficiency, as well as driving innovation. And while we are now a data generation in Northern Ireland, we are lagging behind the rest of the UK. And that's one of the exciting things about this project. It's bringing open data to the forefront here. And organisations and charities will need to understand this new landscape and be able to operate within it. However, the understanding, use and publishing of open data, not just within our sector, but across Northern Ireland as a whole, is still in its infancy. But we are starting to develop our own open data, to evolve our own open data culture here. As Lisa said, we've already got Pathfinders, we've got the AIMS project in the Assembly, we've now got the new open data strategy here in Northern Ireland. So this is the perfect time for this project to be launched, and it fits really well with what's going on across Northern Ireland as a whole. So in March this year, we decided to undertake a survey as to what the awareness of open data was in our sector, and for those that had actually used it, what sources they had they went to. So with regard to open data knowledge, we surveyed the NICFA membership. Now, we didn't get a particularly high response rate, but what we did find is that 40% of participants were aware of open data. So they'd heard the term. They might necessarily know what it was or what the implication is of open data, but they had come across the terminology. Only 18% actually felt informed as to what they could do with open data, what the impact could be for their organisation. And we clearly defined what open data was. I should actually say I tend to go from data to data the whole way through this presentation. I never know which is the proper way to say it, but so just so you're aware. But we asked them, we give a very clear definition of what open data is, and we asked organisations a range of questions on it, and one of it was about making government more accountable. And 43% said they felt that was a great mechanism to do that, which fits really well with the open government agenda across Northern Ireland now. And it's actually one of the five key themes of the Open Government Network in Northern Ireland. For those that had used open data, we asked them what their sources were. And unsurprisingly, Nisra and Ninus came out the highest, with over a quarter stating that this was a source that they used for their own organisations. 23.7% stated that they had used the Office of National Statistics data, and 5% had stated they'd linked in with the data.gov.uk. And for those of you that don't know what that is, that's basically a website which has a collection of data from across the public service and government across the whole of the UK. So Northern Ireland departments and agencies have already submitted data to this. But under the new open data strategy in Northern Ireland, the team, the open data team at DFP, are going to develop their own portal here. We asked the sector what should be the priority for data that should be opened. And unsurprisingly, the results totally reflect what's happening in our sector at the minute. Nearly three quarters of organisations said they wanted data open on funding in Northern Ireland. And as you can understand, with the cuts in ESF funding and the department cuts being rolled out across the sector, more and more organisations want to see the data behind these decisions. Over 50% of organisations wanted to see the release of data in terms of social mobility and welfare, education, statistics and health. And actually quite a few of those are what are going to be the focus of this project. What did surprise me in this survey actually was the geospatial data, because for every open data event I've been to for the past year, all I've heard is about geospatial data and what the impact has. But as I say, this survey totally reflects what's happening in the sector at the minute. So just going to touch briefly on the objectives of the project, and we have four core objectives. One is to increase the frequency and quality of data, the type of government data open for public use. One is to build the capacity of the sector to use open data. And one is to more accurately tell the story, and that's the story of the individuals, the communities and the families that our sector work with. And finally, it's about better service planning in the sector, and I'm just going to tell you a little bit about each of these objectives. So the first one, increase in frequency, quality and type of government data. This is our role, be to work with government departments and agencies to get them to release their data, and I'll touch on that slightly in a minute. It's also about ensuring data is available in accessible format, and that's going to be how it features in our portal. It's about increasing the interest of government departments and agencies in this project, so we want to get their buy-in, we want them to come on board and to feed into the project where possible. And it's about working with the voluntary and community the sector and our organisations to make data available to the public. So how are we doing this? Well, we've already started. The project went live in November. And very early on, I met with a number of key individuals in some of the government departments to get them on board. And thankfully, a few of them agreed to be in our steering group, which is a huge boost for the project. So great to get them on board early. But we'll be liaising quite a lot with the open data team at DFP as they're going to government departments and statutory agencies now and to encourage them to release their data, and as they're developing their own portal. We'll be liaising through them to get access to that data for our own portal. And as Bob's going to go through shortly, this portal is going to be a cross-fertilisation of a whole range of data from different sectors. So that data is going to come from our own sector, it's going to come from public sector, and hopefully the tech and the private sector also. We've also connected in with a number of councils. So for the release of the first story, we made a number of councils aware of what the implication of this was for their own council areas. And we'll be building on this momentum by meeting with data managers within each of the new 11 super councils. And we'll also be making presentations to the joint forum, which have representatives from both government and voluntary community sector and the private, I always get this wrong, the private secretaries group also. One of the core objectives, one of the big things about this project, and which is really exciting, is to build the capacity of the sector to use open data. As I stated there, only 18% of organisations in our sample said that they actually knew what open data could do. They knew what it was and what they could do. So we've developed a training calendar. We know that data doesn't turn into knowledge magically, and that it does take people, skills and tools to make data become knowledge and to encourage change. And we also know that many of the organisations in the voluntary community sector, especially with recent budget cuts, don't have the resources to, and they don't have the finances to send organisations to training, and training can be very expensive. The training we're offering in this programme is free to all participants. So we've worked, I'm just going to show you the calendar in a minute, but we've worked with the Open Data Institute to tailor some of their training, so very excited to get them on board because they empower the use of open data through professional training. And we worked with them to tailor their open data in a day training session to make it relevant to our sector. So a little bit about this formal training. It's a one-day interactive course, and it's all about how to discover, use and describe the benefits of open data and how it can impact our organisations. And the course is jargon-free. I think a lot of people, when they hear data, they tend to take the step back thinking there's going to be a lot of jargon in this. It is jargon-free, and it will give an overview of the open data landscape, and the main focus of it is to increase the confidence of people to work with open data and how they can bring it back to their organisations. Those will be 10 masterclasses throughout the lifespan of the project. One of the first ones is going to be on the freedom of information. A lot of organisations in our sector don't know how to use the freedom of information. They don't know how or who the individuals to go to. So some of the project team, as well as the Information Commissioner's Office, are going to undertake this workshop or this masterclass. And it's going to look about how the aim of which is to empower voluntary community organisations to use freedom of information and data in their organisations, and also to provide them practical advice about how to take freedom of information forward. The lunchtime sessions, really happy to have a representative from NISR here today, because they're actually taking part in the training, and they're going to be delivering in the first couple of months two lunchtime sessions for us. One is about the data behind the 11 councils in Northern Ireland, which is really fitting with our first data story. So we'll have maybe contributions from Cormac at the detail about how he got data for that and the data he got for the first story. And the second one is about an ageing population in Northern Ireland. So are we age-friendly? And again, there's going to be data relevant for each of the 11 council areas across Northern Ireland. And that's going to be launched in July. So we're very happy that one of the senior researchers, official statistics statistician, is going to come along and present that for us as well. Finally, we're going to develop a network of 15 data champions. So this is to take the project beyond just our team. The influence of this will be there'll be 15 data champions from different subsectors across Northern Ireland who are going to receive more intense training on open data, and that they're going to filter that training out further across the sector. The project's only one small team, so we want to have as high an impact as possible, and the hope that these organisations will go out to other membership organisations and deliver training there, which can be filtered through to smaller community groups also. So organisations using data to more accurately tell their stories. Data needs a narrative. We all know that PDF documents and spreadsheets do not tell a good story, and it can be very time-consuming to go through them and try to pick out the trends. So we, as part of this project, we designed the 30 data stories element of it, which Catherine is going to talk about shortly. And this is going to consist of written articles, video interviews, and interactive maps. And the project have already linked in with a range of voluntary community organisations to develop relevant stories for the sector. In fact, in the first story alone, we have 15 organisations from a range of different subsectors contributing to this. And we know that one of the vital things about our sector and one of our values is about challenging decision makers and about holding power to account. So within this, we're also going to be building the capacity of organisations in terms of how they lobby, campaign, and also their communication skills, so they know who to go to and they know how to reach out and get their story out there. And we'll be doing that once the data stories are launched. We'll be linking in with each of the data stories and the key issues that come out of that, so that the sector have a platform to lobby on. And we're also hoping that by the development of this project, and in particular the portal, organisations will build their confidence to ask data-driven questions, so they can go onto the portal and they can see the data, and they can see the publisher of the data, and they can see what that publisher holds. And this will give them the confidence to go directly to a government department or a certain official and ask them data-driven questions, which they may not have had the confidence to do so before. Finally, our last objective, our output, will be for better service planning in the sector. And we're doing this through a range of different ways. With regard to the data portal, this is going to be a central resource for the project. And my colleague Bob Harper, the Open Data Analyst, will be responsible for that. In effect, as I mentioned, it's going to have data from a range of different sectors, whether that's through government departments, from think tanks, and also from our own sector. And it's about ensuring that organisations can easily go in and access data and be able to pull out what's relevant to themselves. We also have a help desk resource. And the benefit of this will be that we will take participants through how they can use this portal. And this is going to be done through a range of resources. So it will be done online and through some of our masterclasses and workshops across Northern Ireland. And we're hoping to hold one with the Royal Community Network in September, and going to organise that after the launch. And finally, it's about empowering organisations also to submit their data. And, you know, we know what we do and we have the data behind this, and we need to be transparent as well. It's not just about transparency in the private public sector, it's about our own transparency. So this is a way that we can get the message out there that we're transparent, this is what we do it well, and one of the benefits of that is that other organisations can go in and see what's being done and improve their services based on that information. So it's about collaboration and sharing of information as well. So the final slide for me, what's the benefits to the sector? And there's many. Open data can help charities achieve their aim and bring better value to their work. It's about targeting services better. It's about improving advocacy and fundraising. And it's about support, knowledge, sharing and collaboration between, not just between our sector, but between all sectors. And we're very keen to engage with key individuals across all sectors in Northern Ireland. There is the potential to help us do more of what we do, to do it better, but also to hold government to account with regard to performance and provision of services. And it's about filling in gaps, highlighting gaps in areas of provision around health, education, justice and community relations, just to name a few. What's really exciting about this project is, for our sector, this is a very new area, and it brings exciting new possibilities for us, and it can change the way that we work and the services we deliver to the people that need it. And that's me. Is anyone any questions at this stage? I feel like I've just talked at you so long. Is that okay? I'm just going to pass over then to Catherine Tony then.
Good morning, everybody. Great to be here. As Lisa and Andrew have already said, this is something we've been working towards for quite a long time, so we're delighted to finally be here today and to be launching the project. First of all, I'm just going to touch on why we're doing this. For us, I think it's important to say straight away that it's a very natural fit for us to be working with NICFA and with Big Lottery on this project. We share an interest in highlighting issues which impact some of the most disadvantaged and vulnerable in our society. That's in terms of the work we were already doing and the work that we plan to do in the future. We'd already built up quite a bit of experience in reporting on data, and we wanted to take this to a new level. We'd already reported on issues like ambulance response times, suicide deaths, educational achievement, domestic violence, dementia, welfare reform, and that was a project that we actually did with NICFA. So we already had those relationships started, and we were very happy to try and develop them a bit further. We also would already have very good contacts within the community and voluntary sector and see these groups already as key to our storytelling, and already see quite a few familiar faces here that we've worked with before. In terms of our role in the project, our aim is to produce 30 data journalism articles over the 3 years of the project. That's a minimum of 30. We'd hope it will be more. And we want to build up our relationships with the voluntary and community sector groups. And we're going to continue to report on topics of public interest which affect communities across Northern Ireland. And that will involve research, analysing and reporting on the data that we bring in. We want to tell the story of the data in an engaging, interesting, informative and useful way. We want to put articles out there that people are going to want to read, that they're going to want to digest and dig into and maybe look at again 10 days later and get something else out of it. We want to let our audience know why these topics matter. Sometimes that will be obvious, sometimes it maybe won't be, and it's only whenever we tell the story of the figures that people will realise why it's something they need to sit up and listen to. Our other issue is that we want to have an impact. That could be from informing people about an issue, or it could be to challenge information that's out there, or to hold government to account, and it could even lead to policy change in government. And there certainly are issues we're already looking into that we think could lead to those big changes. In terms of our team at The Detail, we've three data journalists. There's myself and Lindsay and Cormac, who are at this front table here. We're delighted to have them on board. Great to have two more people working with data. We also have our video editor, Niall, who's at the front here, and he's doing a lot of the brilliant videos that we run. And then we've graphic design by Chris Scott, who's a really brilliant graphic designer, and you've probably already seen some of the work that he's done. And again, it helps bring those numbers to life and to help make them easily to be understood. And then we also have other support from within The Detail for the editorial, including Trevor Burney and the editor, Stephen McCaffrey. How we find and tell our stories. I suppose, first of all, for some people who don't know, it's quite important to explain what data journalism is. I always say it's just high-quality journalism that has numbers at the core. That can be one number, it can be 10 numbers. It can be based on data sets that run to millions of rows, it can be hundreds of rows, or it can be one key figure that we've pulled together. So it is journalism, it's about storytelling, it's about reporting on issues that are important, but ultimately it has numbers at the centre. So our ideas would originate from many sources, and for this project in particular, that can come from the ground up, from the community and voluntary sector, groups we've spoken to in the last number of months and years that are telling us about what's important on the ground, and we can then go and look at the data behind that and investigate that topic. Other times it comes from our own research, figures that we're looking at or that we've come across, and we can then bring those to the sector and to community groups and say, did you know this? Do you want to talk about it? Can we look into it for you? So it can come from different ways, and I think that's a really exciting part of the project, that there are different ways that we can hear about stories or start to look into things. Whenever we decide what topics we're going to look at, and if anything it's just trying to narrow it down, there's so much we could look at, and that's the brilliant thing about it. We've lots of ideas of things that we want to do, but we would meet early on with the groups and who are experts in the field and in these various topics, and we would talk to them about what data might be available, what questions they might want answered, what's important to them. And it's also the case that sometimes these groups have data themselves that they haven't realised that they can make use of, and that's something we can take on and that we can include in our reporting. For us, if it is an FOI request, and quite often it is, requesting the data is a really important part of our job, and we're very happy to put time into that part of the process where we research what's out there, we have a really good look at the data sets that are available, and we frame our FOI request depending on what we know about the data. So that's knowing what the column headings are, that's knowing how often the data is reported, it's looking at what data sets we can maybe combine together, what we can add to it, what geography we can bring. So we spend a lot of time researching a topic before we put in an FOI request, and then it's maybe a month before that comes back, and then it goes on from there. It's really important to frame that request correctly and to be aware of what you're looking for and to know as much as you can about the data before you ask for it. We consider things like confidentiality issues and other sensitivities whenever we're reporting on data, and that's really important, and it may be important for some groups here that have groups that they're working with that are dealing with sensitive issues, even just basic things like names and addresses and that kind of thing. We can work around all that and certainly have a lot of experience already in covering sensitive issues in a very sensitive way. And we also would consider things like legal issues, which is an important thing as well when it comes to dealing with large data sets. Once we have the data, we would analyse it and finalise how we want to tell the story. And this can include interactive graphics and maps, charts, video interviews, photography, and then obviously the traditional written piece that accompanies that. We like people to be able to personalise their reading of a story through the interactive graphics. They may zoom in on one town, that might be all they want to know. They may want to compare across Northern Ireland, or they may want to look into a subheading of the data and look into that. So I think you get lots of layers in our stories and different ways of reading the story, and that can be really beneficial in terms of your story and your issues getting an audience. We involve the groups in our storytelling. That's obviously key to this project. They have the gift of being able to bring our numbers to life, and we couldn't do it without them, and they can explain why it matters to them. In our first story, I think Andrea touched on this earlier, we had about 15 groups that featured in some way. For some of our stories, it might be a more focused engagement with a smaller number of groups, and in other cases, it might involve a larger number of groups. There will be that real mix with our stories, and I think both work in different ways. Our published work is then released into the public domain, and the data is hosted on the data store, and this builds it up into a great source for the public at large. The case study I just thought we'd have a quick look at is Cormac's piece that he did looking at the council data, and that was published a couple of weeks ago. So for this investigation, it exposed huge disparities between Northern Ireland's new council areas across a range of areas, including education, health, employment, access to services, and even life expectancy. And Cormac, for this piece, examined 11 different data sets to gauge quality of life in each council area. He then ranked the councils from 1 to 11 across each of the areas of life covered by the research. Some of his key findings, and there were many, I'll just touch on a few, was that the 11 new councils have inherited debt totalling more than £1 billion. And that's equivalent to nearly £550 for every person living in Northern Ireland. Also, there's a difference of nearly 25% between the rates bills of similarly priced homes in different districts. And he also looked at the transport infrastructure across Northern Ireland and queried what impact that had on a lot of these issues. So as well as including the views of groups in each of the 11 council areas, some community and voluntary groups representatives appeared in our video. And I just thought it might be good to look at the video today. Some of you may have seen it, but the videos, again, bring the numbers to life and bring it down to ground level. Thank you.
I'm Colin Knox from Ulster University and professor of comparative public policy. The findings of the detail report are a very useful piece of work in the sense that they do illustrate the key differences between the 11 new councils. I think some of the findings draw attention to particular aspects that I think will be useful to highlight. For example, the big differential in debt, the lack of infrastructural arrangements in some of the local authorities, etc.
Was at the end of Victorian Reign. It is now 2:15. I'm a little bit more from 18 particular trends. So we're going backwards to the days of Queen Victoria, and that's how bad it is. We're not asking in Territory into the West of the University campaign, which I'm also involved in. I'm not asking for any special treatment. We have got the lowest level of university places available per head of population of any city on the island of Ireland. Why should that be true? And when you consider that Derry was the epicentre of the beginning of the civil rights movement, shouting about equality, shouting about the rights of it, to reverse the imbalances of the past, that all these years later, we are still in the same position is an outrage.
So I think that's a really good example of how the stories can be brought to life by people on the ground. If we look at the impact of Cormac's story, this is just a small sample. The story was covered by the Irish Times, by the Belfast Telegraph, and by at least, I think, a dozen local papers at the last count. We contacted local papers in advance of publishing the article to let them know that it was coming and to let them know that there was local data that they could make use of. This worked really well, and we are still getting calls from local papers asking us for figures, and some of them are moving it on, looking at different issues, and we do think that that data will have a life beyond just the publication of our story, and that's obviously the aim. We also had a great response on social media where people shared the key findings and shared the infographics, and so we were certainly delighted with that first story. Another bit of impact was also in the Assembly, where Eamon's lovely line about the train times, there was a question asked by John Dallet where they confirmed that, yes, it does take longer now to get on the train. So it's also having impact in the Assembly as well. So what's next? For us, it's the publication of our second story coming up. You'll maybe see a busy and nervous Lindsay Fergus sitting here. She's working on the second piece, a great story as well that's going to be published very soon. We're also continuing to research and analyse and do interviews for our other projects. We kind of have to balance quite a few projects at one time, whether that's asking for data, doing interviews, doing a bit of research. So we're kind of juggling all that. We're also meeting with groups. We've been meeting with some of the department monitoring groups that NICFA have here. It's been great to sit in on those sessions and hear them talking about issues that are important to them, and just to make contacts and start talking to people and let them know who we are. So if you have any ideas for data stories, do let us know. The project allows us to tell important stories about issues that matter to you, and we really want you to make use of us and to contact us. So if anybody wants to speak to us afterwards, we'll be milling about, or you can come to us after a bit further down the line if you've some issues you think we should be looking at. Any questions from anybody for now? No? That's good. Thank you.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you a demonstration of the data portal that we've developed as part of this project. It's gone live today, just this morning.
What could possibly go wrong?
A
live demo of a brand new piece
of tech. So it's on data or data.nicfa.org. It doesn't matter how you pronounce it whenever you're typing it in. But don't go there just now, because I have to do a live example and I don't want to crash in. So the portal exists. It's an easy way to bring together all the data for the sector. So that's the data that the sector might use and the data that the sector might produce itself. So it makes it easy for us to publish and to get it out there, and everyone knows that will be in one place where they can go to find the data. So it makes it easy to find the data, to view it, to download it, and to play about with it. I'll show you how you can do that in a moment. So if I just go out of this. So it's data.nicfa.org and the front page. You can find data sets by topics, so we've sort of categorised them in things we think will be useful to people. We can always change that if we find that it's not working, but I think we've sort of covered everything there. If you scroll on down to find those, you can also search. There's a search bar up here at the top on every page and on the front page as well. down at the bottom of the portal, you'll find the features. So that's where, you know, we've got an interesting data set. We'll look more in more detail at it, maybe write a blog article about it. So at the top here, you'll find, through the menu bar, you'll find a list of all the data sets that we've got. We've got 21 so far, but we're always going to be working on adding more and more to the portal as we go along. We've got them by the, categorise them also by the organisations that's published them. There we go. So that's some of the few. There's ourselves as well, the detailed data. And we're also putting up some of NICFA's own data sets, say sort of past research projects we've done and surveys such as our viewfinder and individual giving surveys. So we're trying to make, you know, all the data behind. You see the results of those surveys published in our reports, but you'll also, you know, be able to find for yourself all of the raw data behind the surveys as well, so you can sort of go through, you find particular information that you're looking for. So if I go into the video that we saw for the Places Apart project, you know, the first data story, that's one of the data sets that we've got on the portal here. So this is one of the data sets. So in each data set, you'll find a description of the data that's involved in it. Just gives you, you know, sort of quick synopsis so that you know it puts it in context so that you know what you're actually looking at. If you scroll on down then in each of these, you'll find, you know, a list of the tables, the files that are, you know, included as part of that data set. This one has actually quite a lot, you know, most of them would maybe only have about 4 or 5, but you know, because we're looking at such a wide range of topics for that story, there's quite a lot of data behind it, and we tried to divide it all up neatly so that, you know, if you put them all in one table, it's not too overwhelming. So if you click on one of the files, you'll get a nice sort of preview, so you don't have to go in to download it. You'll get a sort of preview of all the information in it. It's also got a graphing and a mapping facility. So if I just show you one of this, for the council story. So that sort of gives you a quick sort of look at the data that's contained in it and how you can use it. Of course, you can always download the whole file just by clicking on that, and that will download it straight to your computer. There's also a wee mapping facility, which is quite neat. It doesn't work for everything. It depends, you know, how the data is set up, if that function is available. In this one, then it's going to show it, sort of put place markers on each council area there, and you know, you can sort of get the rankings, the scores that were used in the story for that. So the types of data that we'll use things such as surveys, sort of some public data, that public open data that's sort of quite relevant to the sector. The good thing about having a portal such as this is the metadata that sort of describes the data, you can use that to link into other data portals. So whenever the Northern Ireland Open Data Portal goes online, we'll also be able to do that, to pull in data from that as well. So that sort of increases the functions and the linkages that the portal can make, which will be of use to the sector. We also put on, you know, if voluntary community organisations, you've got your own data that you want to share, you can share it with us, and we'll put it on the portal at this stage. We'll help you do that ourselves. In future, we hope that we'll be able to give people access in order to upload data themselves, so that, you know, we'll keep training people up and give them the ability to do that. Also, if you find that you need help using the portal, our contact details are always there. If there's a sort of data set that we've missed, I'm sure there is at this stage, just let us know, and then we'll work on trying to get that data as well. You know, we'll be using this as part of the training. Whenever we deliver the training, we'll be using the portal and teaching people how to use the portal, how to open up their own data, and then how to upload that to the portal to make it available to others, so that, you know, it'll act as a central resource. It'll change how the sector do things whenever, say, they're making funding applications or designing service delivery. They'll be able to pull in details maybe from other organisations who've worked in similar fields before, maybe identify needs and gaps and what's worked best and what hasn't. So I just encourage everyone to have a good look there whenever they get back to their offices, data.nicfra.org. Have a look, think about what you yourselves would like to see on the portal, what do you think you can contribute, and always let us know, just drop me an email. Thanks as well to Rob and Stephen from NICFA, who've worked on, you know, sort of design and doing the very technical stuff in the front, in the front end of things at the portal here. I wouldn't have been able to do that myself, and I know, you know, we were up, we were working on until about 11 o'clock last night as well to make sure it looked good, and that it's sort of quite easy to use compared to a lot of portals out there. I'm sure it will get a bit more complex once a few more data sets going up, but we want to make it easy for people to find the things that they're looking for, so thanks as well to them.
Okay. I'm just going to finish the session by calling on Joanne from the Big Lottery to come up, and Joanne's going to briefly talk about the Ideas Fund. So, Joanne.
Great, thank you very much. Really, it falls on me today just to say a few words of thanks and also where this actually came from. I mean, I think as an organisation working in Northern Ireland and right the way across the UK, Big Lottery Fund recognises that we ourselves are the holder of a lot of information, and as an organisation we started to think about this roughly about the same time as there were a number of people who came to us to start to think through what would this mean for the voluntary and community sector here, and started to think about the opportunities that open data could bring. There's been a huge amount of talk this morning about the potential for collaboration, and I would just like to reiterate that whenever we started to think about what would be important coming through was that we had to be flexible and respond to things that were happening. Whilst we have a series of programmes that are very, very detailed in terms of looking at the outcome and the impact for either younger people or older people at the moment, it was important for us to respond to what the VCSE needed in Northern Ireland, and this was a great example of that. It's linked even more into our strategy moving forward to thinking about the actual people that this data represents, and thinking about how they can verbalise what is actually needed for them locally when we start to invest in new projects and programmes for the future. The benefits are not tapped into yet, but I think they wholly could be, and the Ideas Fund for us was an opportunity to try something different. Northern Ireland is the first part of the UK where we've been able to support this kind of project, and I think it has shown a different kind of relationship and maturity. I'm joined by my colleague today, Seamus McCann, who's the funding officer managing this, and I think what we've all realised already is that this needs to be an iterative process. There will be certain parts of this project that work better than others, and we need to reflect that and actually practice what we're preaching in terms of this around the data is great when you move that forward and think about how you can turn that into real detailed information, either within the organisation or in collaborative senses. That's really, really important as well. But how do we make sure that we share the learning and the knowledge that comes from this project to make sure that this becomes core to what we do? Being a geographer many, many years ago, geospatial analysis was my bread and butter at a time at university, and it's, for me at the moment, with the volume of data that we all see going across our desks, the tools and techniques that we now have available to us to summarise that data down, to make that data really, really important, the visualisation side of things. I don't know how you all feel in your day jobs, but without some of that data visualisation at the moment, I would just feel swamped in terms of what are the issues, how do we really get to the core of those. And I think there's huge potential in this room today and beyond to think about how that would really make a difference. Big Lottery Fund is very interested in thinking about how we can move forward the debate away from a deficits approach to think about the assets and the strengths and the skills that we have in Northern Ireland. We're currently in discussion about new programmes around that, and I believe that this is an element and a part of that to really show how we can build on things, how we can look forward and think about what next. Can I thank the people in this room who had the ideas that have come together and that are now being fully embedded? We hope it means that it will be about change and how we can capture that change over time. And today is a great day and a starting point for that. So thank you all very much.